الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eder.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، سبحانك اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. وبعد، Respected brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you once again to this daily program just before iftar on the topic of Islamic manners, Muslim manners, the etiquette of a Muslim, based on a small book that we have in Arabic titled Min Adab al-Islam, From the Manners of Islam, authored by a renowned scholar of Syria, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, who's passed away. If you remember, brothers and sisters, yesterday we discussed in terms of the manners of visiting, we discussed the importance of timing our visit and the importance of making sure that we do not visit people at inappropriate times, such as the time of eating, the time of sleeping, the time of resting. And also we should ensure that our duration of our visits are not such that they inconvenience the host. We don't go to somebody's house and sit for long periods of time. We discussed that in quite depth and detail yesterday, and I explained that to these two points. And then after that, we moved on to another point, which was the point of greeting a group. When you enter a group and you have a lot of people there and you want to say salam, so you do salam to everybody, you greet everyone, you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And there was something small briefly mentioned about honoring the most prominent person in that gathering. And then actually that's going to be discussed later on in the next point in quite detail, so we will leave that. But the past few days we've been discussing the manners of visiting. Make sure we make appointments before we go to somebody's house. Phone people before you go and visit them. Don't just go to somebody's house suddenly. If the host tells us, if you go to somebody's house suddenly, and even if you make appointments and they tell us that, sorry, we cannot receive you right now, we're busy, then accept that wholeheartedly. And then we talked about controlling our eyes, making sure when we stand at somebody's door, we knock, we stand on the right or on the left. Don't look inside the house, don't peep into the house, because that's a massive sin. And then the way we should place our shoes, we talked about that. And then the room we should go in, the way we should choose our seat and what seat we should sit on in the house. And then we talked about yesterday the timing and the duration. Now, the Sheikh now moves on to another point. The author of this book, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda Al-Halabi, rahimahullah, he moves on to another point. We want to, inshallah, move as quick as possible, because my intention, brothers and sisters, is to finish and complete this book. I mean, we've been doing this from the beginning of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and in Arabic, the Arabic version that I have, I'm on page 18 and I need to get to page 42. So I'm more or less, you know, I've reached halfway point. But as you know, the timings are short now. Before, I used to have from 6:30 till literally 10 to 8. Now it's like 7:20 iftar. So therefore, I do have to haste, and I may not be able to say certain other things that I may want to say. But anyway, today's next point, which the Sheikh has explained in quite detail, is about eavesdropping. Remember, all of these points, they go back. All of them go back to the importance of respecting people's privacies. Like I've mentioned on many occasions, Islam places a great deal of emphasis on respecting the privacies of other people. And that's why many sins have been made haram because of this fact, because of the importance of respecting people's privacies, not being too nosy. And I talked about, you know, making sure we don't stand around in front of people's doors, we don't look into people's houses, we shouldn't be too nosy. And many sins like backbiting and tale-bearing and spying and وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, Allah says in the Quran, do not spy, suspicion, all these sins are connected to the aspect of not respecting people's privacies, and hence they have been considered haram in Islam. The next point is again, same, it relates to the same issue of respecting people's privacies. Eavesdropping, overhearing people, trying to secretly overhear the conversation of other people, which is a great, a massive, a major sin and haram, absolutely haram in Islam, totally, categorically forbidden in Sharia. So, this whole issue of eavesdropping has been explained in great detail in this particular point. And making sure that we don't overhear people. And in as an intro to it, the Shaykh, the author of this book, explains one or two other etiquettes which also relate to making sure that we don't overhear people, we don't eavesdrop, we don't become too nosy. So I would first read the Arabic text that I have in front of me, inshallah, and then translate and then explain, inshallah. So the author, the Shaykh, says in the book, he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِذَا دَخَلْتَ مَجْلِسًا فَلَا تَجْلِسْ بَيْنَ جَلِيسَيْنِ وَلَكِنْ خُذْ نَاحِيَتَهُمَا يَمِينًا أَوْ يَسَارًا فقد قال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجلس بين رجلين إلا بإذنهما رواه أبو داود. He says, when you enter a gathering, when you enter a majlis, when you enter a place where people are sitting, do not sit in between two seated people. بين جليسين. Do not sit in between two people. Okay, now what this means is that it's not wrong to always sit in between two people, right? For example, there are all seats, right? And there's a seat, like there's chairs, for example, and people are sitting on various chairs, and there are a lot of gaps, missing gaps here and there, and there's a gap in the middle, there's one empty chair between two people, and you go and sit there, that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. What the Shaykh is trying to explain here is that when two people may be sitting close to one another because they are having a conversation, for example. On the floor, they're sitting, they're talking to one another, or there's two people sitting close to one another having a conversation. So it is wrong and it's bad manners. It's against the teachings of Quran and Sunnah and the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and sit in between these two people. Avoid sitting between two people. فَلَا تَجْلِسْ بَيْنَ جَلِيسَيْنِ. Don't sit between two seated people. The author here, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he used the term bayna jalisain. Jalisain. He never said, just don't go and sit between two people. That's it, no matter what. What the term he used is jalisain, which implies and shows and signifies and points out to the fact that it's wrong to sit when there are two people who are like having a conversation. They are both mates. Jalis normally means your compatriot, your friend, your mate, your friend. That's what you call a jalis. It's from the word jalasa, yajlisu, which means to sit. But jalis is where you are sitting next to, right next to your friend because you want to have a conversation. You want to talk about something. You want to discuss something. So do not go and sit between these two people, between two people who are actually having a conversation, who have actually intentionally sat next door to each other so they can have a conversation and talk about things. Okay? So this is not to do with somewhere where the two people don't even know one another. You're just going somewhere and, for example, there's empty seats, like especially in public places, you are traveling, you're at the train station, you're at the airport, for example, and there are places that there's like one person sitting this side, one person this side, and this is the only gap, space, empty chair that you have. You can go and sit there. It's not a problem. But what is being explained here is that Do not go and sit between two friends and mates who have sat intentionally next to each other in order to have a conversation. Then the Sheikh says, but sit on their right or sit on their left. وَلَكِنْ خُذْ نَاحِيَتَهُمَا. Sit on their sides, whether right or left. Nahiya in Arabic means to sit on the side, a corner. Sit on the sides, whether it's a right hand side or the left. You know, don't sit in the middle, but go and sit somewhere on the right slightly or on the left. Then he says, our beloved messenger, and this ruling is given, why? Because our beloved master, our messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لا يجلس بين رجلين إلا بإذنهما. One should not sit between two people unless with their permission. Recorded by Imam Abu Dawud. This is a hadith. لا يجلس بين رجلين إلا بإذنهما. A man should not go, a person should not go and sit between two people, in between two individuals, unless with their permission. Now, if somebody wants to really sit, for example, there's no other seats available. There's like three seats. There's one person on the right, one on the left. They're both mates. They're both having a conversation. There's only one seat in the middle, empty. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't sit between two people unless with their permission. Ask them, can I sit in the middle here? And if not, I mean, so what? Tell the other person, you move in here, I'll sit on this side so you can both have a conversation. Okay? So, it's not that it's never, never allowed. The hadith is clearly here mentioning, one should not sit in between two people unless with both of their permission. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِمَا, recorded by Imam Abu Dawud. Then the Sheikh says, and this is one paragraph. Then the next paragraph he explains, he says, I will read the Arabic text again. He says, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ لِمَنْ جَلَسَ بَيْنَ إِثْنَيْنِ إِذَا فَسَحَ لَهُ وَأَكْرَمَاهُ بِذَلِكَ أَنْ يَجْمَعَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا يَتَرَبَّعَ. قال ابن الأعرابي قال بعض الحكماء إثنان ظالمان رجل أهديت له نصيحة فاتخذها ذنبا ورجل وسع له في مكان ضيق فقعد متربعا. He says that it is recommended for the one who gets to sit between two people when these two people make room for him and they honor him. What's recommended? That he gathers himself and does not sit cross-legged. What the Sheikh is trying to explain here, brothers and sisters, this is very important. To be very hospitable towards other people and giving preference to others. This is what this point is about. That out of kindness, if, for example, and this is like, for example, you go in the masjid. You go into the masjid in the salah. You go into the third line, the third saf, the third row. You go for Salatul Jumu'ah, for Tarawih, for whatever prayer. For example, it's just an example. And you find that there's two people sitting next door to each other. Now, these two people are right, they're not having a conversation, and they're not like mates, because they've come to ibadah, they've come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, there's a bit of space between two people. Now, you want to go and sit in between these two people, there's a bit of space, so you go and ask permission. A man should not sit, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in between two people, unless you seek permission. Right? So you ask permission, and they let you sit. So what the Sheikh is explaining here, that when a person is honored, when these two people who are sitting next to each other, when they fasaha lahu, when they make room for him, they say, okay, no problem, sit. One moves a bit to the right, and the other one moves a bit to the left, and they let you sit in between them two. They honor him by giving him space. Then this person, this coming person who's been given this space, who's been honored, right? The one who's been given this room to sit in, he should feel that, alhamdulillah, I should be thankful, grateful to these two people, thankful to Allah, and then thankful to these people. Out of kindness, he should make sure that don't feel You know, don't make yourself too comfortable. Don't think that, oh yeah, this is, you know, like my space now. And so the Shaykh is saying that it's recommended for him that he gathers himself. Really gather himself. Meaning sit in a tight place. Sit as, you know, much as you sit in a way wherein you can gather yourself as much as possible. And he says, وَلَا يَتَرَبَّعْ. In Arabic, يَتَرَبَّعْ means do not sit cross-legged. Don't make yourself too comfortable. Appreciate it that these two people have given you, you know, like space to sit, so appreciate it. You know, sometimes in the masajid, people sometimes, they don't give space. We should be hospitable. Brothers and sisters, we should always, like I mentioned yesterday or the day before, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, the companions of the beloved Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would always give preference to others over themselves. You know, we should be willing to move away. We should be willing to take a bit of hardship for the sake of others. Okay? Even when we are praying salah, when we are in the masjid, wherever we are, we should always have this quality of the companions, which is of preference, which is of ithar. Seriously, ithar. In Arabic, we call it ithar. And that's from the word, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that's how they were. They would give preference to their fellow brothers and sisters over themselves. They would sacrifice a bit of their own pleasures. They would exercise sabr and patience. They would go through a bit of pain and difficulty themselves. But they would ensure that their fellow Muslim brother or sister would, you know, would not be harmed. So this is what this point is about. Don't sit cross-legged. Gather yourself so that you don't inconvenience the person on your right and the person on your left. And then the Shaykh quotes somebody. He says, قَالَ إِبْنُ الْعَرَابِ. A person called Ibn al-Arabi who says that some of the wise men, some of the wise people, they used to say, one of the wise persons said, Ibn al-Arabi, this is not Ibn al-Arabi, this is somebody else, Ibn al-Arabi. Okay, he has a book, you know, well, this has been taken from a book called Adab al-Imla wal-Istimla, written by Al-Hafiz al-Sam'ani. So Ibn al-Arabi relates from one of the wise men who said, he said, two people are ungrateful. Listen to this, two people are ungrateful. Ithnani Zaliman. Two people are extremely ungrateful and zalim. Who are these two people? Number one, a man who was given some good guidance and nasiha and advice. رَجُلٌ أُهْدِيَتْ لَهُ نَصِيحَةً فَاتَّخَذَهَا ذَنْبًا. A man was given good advice, good nasiha, and he used that good advice to commit a sin. Seriously, you know, that's an ungrateful person. You know, you give somebody good advice and they use that good advice against you maybe, or in order to harm someone or to commit a sin. So that's one absolutely ungrateful person. And the other one, وَرَجُلٌ وُسِّعَ لَهُ فِي مَكَانٍ ضَيِّقٍ فَقَعَدَ مُتَرَبِّعًا. A person who is given space to sit in a very tight area and he sits cross-legged. He's very ungrateful as well. Who's saying this? Some of the wise people earlier on. That a man was given space to sit in a very tight area. The place was very tight. And two people, they moved and they give you space and you go and relax and chill and think, oh, yes, this is, you know, where I can sit and make yourself feel absolutely comfortable and at home and sit cross-legged. Then this person is considered to be a zalim, a ungrateful man or a ungrateful woman. So, this is very important. And also, there's a hadith, brothers and sisters. I recall there's a hadith, two hadiths that I've remembered of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard, in terms of the etiquettes, okay, in terms of the etiquettes of sitting between people. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu relates that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the famous Sahabi Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يُقِيمَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ رَجُلًا مِنْ مَجْلِسِهِ ثُمَّ يَجْلِسُ فِيهِ وَلَكِنْ تَوَسَّعُوا وَتَفَسَّحُوا. Muttafaqun alayhi, Sahih al-Bukhari wa Sahih Muslim, recorded by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, both of them in the hadith collections. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of you should not go and make another person stand up from his place and then sit in his place. Rather, tawassa'u, give room, open up, tafassahu. This has been mentioned in the Quran as well. Tafassahu, fafsahu yafsahillahu lakum. Be open. Be accommodating. Accommodate other people. Don't be too stingy. Some people are too stingy, seriously. In even the space, you don't, this is not money. I mean, to be stingy with money is bad enough. But in space, you're not giving someone space to sit. Subhanallah. And that space does not even belong to us. It's like in the masjid. But we sometimes are so, subhanallah, you know, so ungrateful and so selfish and so self-centered that we do not even want to give an inch of a space for someone to sit in. Allahu Akbar. Seriously, brothers, that is a really serious spiritual disease that needs to be cured. It's a spiritual disease. It's something that's gone wrong in the heart. Seriously, something's gone wrong in the heart. It's not your, the person is not even using any money, it's just moving a bit, an inch or two. Here's your fellow Muslim brother. Imagine, put yourself in his shoes. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. You cannot even be a complete believer. You cannot even be a Muslim, a complete Muslim, until you do not like for your brother what you like for yourself. Islam is not just about going to the masjid and doing your tarawih and fasting and that's it and keeping a beard and covering your head. It's much more than that, brothers and sisters. If a person does not have this ability and capability of liking for their own brother and sister what they like for themselves, like you, if you think that you put yourself in that person's shoes, in his boots, that if you were to go in a place and where it's a very tight place, in Salatul Jumu'ah, you go into Jumu'ah, and the person's just not compromising. He just doesn't want to move. He's sitting cross-legged. That's it. I came here first. That's it. I know you came here first. You have the right, brother. But imagine, one day you will come slightly late. You want somebody else to accommodate you in this space. So, you know, be willing to accommodate people. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't be somebody who's just concerned about their own convenience and their own, you know, comfort. Think about other people. And this is the spirit, this is the ruh, this is the spirit of our Islam and our deen, of compromising, of, you know, accommodating other people, not being selfish, giving preference to other people. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, one of you should not go and stand up, make another person stand up from his place and sit in his place. That's wrong as well. This is another hadith. If you go and somebody's sitting, you don't go there. Move, let me sit here. That's wrong. Okay, the one who's sitting already beforehand, he's been sitting there. You don't go and tell somebody to move from his space and from his place. Okay, some of us have a big problem in the masjids, brothers and sisters. There are no fixed areas in the masjids. Okay, there are no fixed areas in the masjids. So if somebody's already sitting there, and you, for example, you like to sit in one place all the time, fine, you go there first, sit there, no problem. But if, for example, somebody's already come and sat in your place where you normally sit, you can't say, this is my place. Nobody's place is fixed. Yes, if somebody was sitting there already beforehand and you wanted to go and do istinja or wudu, you just popped out for a few minutes and you popped back in. And then you told somebody to sort of say, look, I'm just sitting here, but I'm just going out. Then the fiqh ruling is that then it's fine. Then if somebody came and sat in your place, then you tell them that, look, I was already sitting here, brother. If you don't mind, you know, this, you know, I was already here. So I just went out for a while. But make sure that you leave something there. You leave like a scarf, or you tell someone to just keep the space for you. There are rules, brothers and sisters, that these are all basic rules, fiqh rules you'll find in the books. And to the point that it's not permissible that you fix your space from earlier on. This is only if you were sitting and you just went out for a few minutes and you were coming back in. But if somebody like said, okay, dhuhr time, I'm going to sit here. When I come for asr, or when I come for taraweeh, after iftar, you know, Maghrib, you were praying your Maghrib in the masjid, and you said, for Taraweeh, I'm going to stand here, so I'm going to fix my place from Maghrib, then that's not permissible, that's unlawful. And which means that you don't have a right. If somebody came and moved your scarf or whatever, then you don't have a right. This is a ruling of Sharia. Yes, if you, for example, came in like 45 minutes earlier, before Isha Salah, and put your scarf there and whatever, and you fixed your space, and then you went to the toilet, to the washroom, and then you went to perform wudu or whatever, then that's fine. Then your space is fixed. Your place is fixed. Anyway, but the hadith here, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he's saying, one of you should not go and tell somebody else to move from his place and sit in his place. Rather, تَوَسَّعُوا تَفَسَّحُوا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here that look, you don't have to move people from their places. Rather, it's easy. If you want to find space, it's easy to find space. Be accommodating. Give room to other people. تَوَسَّعُوا. Be accommodating. And there's another hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood where Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu relates from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu says himself, كنا إذا أتينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جلس أحدنا حيث انتهى. Recorded by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan. Jabir bin Samura, the companion, Jabir bin Samura رضي الله تعالى عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he says, when we used to attend and come to the majlis, to the gathering, when we used to come to sit in the company of the beloved Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we, one of us would sit wherever they would find space. We would not go and right at the front and inconvenience people and try to move people. So these are two etiquettes for the coming person. What we read just before that, where the Sheikh was explaining that, you know, the person, those two people, well, the coming person, the rules are about the coming person, that look, just sit anywhere. And don't sit. So we've learned quite a bit of things here. Not to sit between two people who are talking and having a conversation. And then if the permission is given and these two people honor you to sit in between them, then make sure that you gather yourself. Don't sit cross-legged and don't make yourself too comfortable. And then also ensuring that you don't go and move someone from the space and sit in their place. And also we should try to sit wherever we reach, inshallah. So these were a few, you know, like etiquettes in terms of avoiding sitting between two people. And then the Sheikh, in the same point, further on, carries on to explain, and this is more specific to eavesdropping. He says, وَإِذَا جَلَسْتَ إِلَيْهِمَا فَلَا تُلْقِي بِسَمْعِكَ إِلَى حَدِيثِهِمَا إِلَّا إِذَا كَانَ غَيْرَ سِرٍّ وَلَا خَاصٍ بِهِمَا فَإِنَّ تطلعك إلى ذلك عيب في أخلاقك وسيئة ترتكبها. قال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استمع إلى حديث قوم وهم له كارهون صب في أذنيه الآنك يوم القيامة أي الرصاص المذاب. رواه البخاري وغيره. In this next paragraph, the author, the Sheikh رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy on him, is specifically talking about eavesdropping. Brothers and sisters, you all know, do you know what eavesdropping is, right? Overhearing people, overhearing the secret conversation of other people. This is such a major sin, subhanAllah, such a major sin. It's far worse than many other sins that we can ever commit. Seriously, I've mentioned this so many times. I'll be frank. If somebody said, like, ask me a question, and don't use misunderstand me or take things out of context, what I'm going to say right now, okay? Don't take it out of context. That's why I'm just mentioning this beforehand. Don't misunderstand me. If somebody asked me a question, that there are two sins, which sin is the worst of these two following sins? Is eavesdropping more severe and bad and evil, or is shaving of the beard more worse? You know what my answer would be? Without a doubt, eavesdropping is 100,000 times worse than shaving your beard. Not just eavesdropping, backbiting as well, and tailbearing as well. These are all individual sins which are far more worse than shaving off your beard. Seriously. Do we know that? Allahu A'lam. Do we think of things like in this way? I'm not too sure. Okay, don't take things out of context. I'm not saying that, okay, you know, shaving of the beard is a small sin. Because people, honestly, seriously, the problem sometimes we have is that we just jump at conclusions. We need to think, use our brain sometimes. What is the person trying to say? Think, before jump into conclusions. Did I say that shaving of the beard is light sin? No, I never said that. What am I saying? If somebody asks me a question, which of the two sins, eavesdropping or shaving of the beard, which is worse? There is no doubt in the fact that backbiting, eavesdropping, harming someone is 200 times worse than shaving off your beard. Okay, that's what I am saying. Eavesdropping. What is the Sheikh saying here? Look, what does he say? إِذَا جَلَسْتَ إِلَيْهِمَا He says, when you do sit next to these two people, now see, he's connecting to this previous two paragraphs, that first of all, he said that one should not go and sit in between two people, especially if they are mates and they are having a conversation. And then the hadith says, unless with their permission, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they give you permission, it's permissible. So he says that, look, if they gave you permission, they granted you permission, these two people granted you permission to sit next, in the middle, okay, in the middle, in between them, or even next to them. وَإِن جَلَسْتَ إِلَيْهِمَا When you are seated next to two people, the Shaykh is saying, when you are seated, whether you're in the center and one's on your right and one's on your left, these two people are on your right and on your left, or you are on the side, or you are across them. It doesn't matter. This is not only talking about being right in the middle of them. This is about being on their right or being on the left or being in the middle or being across them. Like, for example, you're eating. Many a time, you know, there's like 10, 15, 20 people and we eat. Okay, we've been invited for food, for supper, for lunch, for dinner, for iftar, for suhoor. Okay, and what happens? There's two people trying to have some kind of secret conversation. And the one across is like, yeah, trying to listen to everything, you know. Ears are growing, subhanAllah, trying to listen at everything, what they're talking about. It's a major sin, brothers and sisters, major sin. Eavesdropping, look at the hadith which is coming. So the Shaykh says here, when you sit and when you are seated next to two people, then do not eavesdrop. لا تلقي بسمعك إلى حديثهما. Do not eavesdrop and do not listen to their conversation. Except, yes, there's an exception. Except if it's not confidential and not private, وَلَا خَاصٍ and not specific to them too. It's not something that's confidential, not something that's sir, private, and neither is it specific to them. It's not specific to them. So for example, you are sitting in a gathering, there's two people talking, but this, you know, you can use your common sense. You will able to determine this by using your common sense. Like most of these things, they are easily, you know, determined by using your brain. Like somebody asked once that, how do you know if they are eating, if you shouldn't go to somebody's house when they're eating? Use your common sense. Okay, if you go in the afternoon, 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, you know it's eating time. If you go in a time when normally people don't eat and then they're eating, then it's not your fault because they're eating out of eating hours time. So here as well, use your common sense. Like if they are talking, for example, loudly and they know people are listening and you know it's not confidential and it's private, then you can probably join in. Everybody's having a collective conversation, then it's fine. But what the Sheikh is explaining here, that if two people are talking in a low tone, they're kind of whispering, because they are trying to have private conversation. And your ears, like, are growing. You know, you're just trying to pull and stretch your ears. They're growing because you want to hear. You're just so intrigued. You want to know all the gory details of their conversation. Allahu Akbar. That is wrong, brothers and sisters. We don't do that. You should, if you are eating, start talking with someone else. If, for example, there's 10, 15 people and they're all eating and there's two people, you know, they're trying to have a private conversation, and you think that, look, it's difficult for you to not listen to them, then start talking with someone else. Start talking, turn to your left to somebody else and start having a conversation with somebody else, as not to listen to their conversation and overhear them and eavesdrop. The Shaykh says, because if you do that, if you eavesdrop, فَإِنَّ تَطَلُّعَكَ, because if you do that, because you knowing the conversation and trying to know the conversation and hear them, this is aibun fi akhlaqik. This is something that's a defect that tarnishes your akhlaq, a defect in your manners, in your character. It makes you look really bad. وَسَيِّئَةٌ, and it's actually not just that it will make you look bad and tarnish your image. Rather, it's a sin that you are committing. سَيِّئَةٌ تَرْتَكِبُهَا. And then he quotes a hadith to prove this point. قَالَ سَيِّدُنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Our master, the messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, what did he say? And this is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. من استمع إلى حديث قوم وهم له كارهون صب في أذنيه الأنك يوم القيامة. A person who overhears, the one who eavesdrops, the one who overhears people's conversations secretly, whilst they don't like you to listen to him, against their wishes. وهم له كارهون, against their wishes. Then what, you know what the sin, what the punishment for this is? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, lead, melted lead will be dropped and will be placed in this person's ears on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us all. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah save us all. Imagine the punishment for eavesdropping, listening to somebody else's private conversations. Because we used our ears, the punishment will be that hot, melted lead. You know, lead when it's melted, will be put into the ears of this person, that why did you use your ears to hear? This is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Brothers and sisters, it's very severe. It's very severe. Some people thrive on trying to overhear people's conversations. There are many ways. Like, for example, you know, you have two phones in your house. There's a phone upstairs, there's a phone downstairs. Okay, somebody's talking, having a conversation upstairs, you pick it up from downstairs, trying to listen to the conversation. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. A Muslim can never do that. A Muslim. And some people, a'udhu billah, some people even go further, seriously. They tap other people's phones, tapping. Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah. That is something absolutely outrageous. Trying to hack some people's computers, trying to find out people's passwords and trying to see who's emailing them. Even from this category, opening somebody's letter against their wishes and reading the contents of the letter. Picking up somebody's phone and reading their text messages. Haram, absolutely unlawful in Sharia. No matter how pious you think you are, how much tarawih and fast and beard and jubba and amama and hijab and, you know, niqab you have, brother, sister. But if you are involved in these kind of sins, not respecting people's privacies, then I'm sorry to say, the punishment is grave. It's grave. Who gives you the right to pick up somebody's phone and check their text messages? Who gives us the right to open somebody's letter and read the contents of the letter? It's haram. Who gives us the right to tap other people's phone, bug other people's lines? Tajassus. I mean, you know, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, there are clear verses. Even if you're trying to find out whether, I mean, it's not our job whether somebody is committing a sin or not. Allah says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. O you who believe, اجْتَنِبُوا, refrain and stay away from suspicion, ظَنِّ. You know, in Arabic, ظَنِّ means suspicion. Just suspecting people of doing things, like you suspect, you see someone, she's guilty of this, and he's guilty of that. She's got a boyfriend, she's guilty. Without any evidence. Why are you suspecting? إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. It's the greatest of lie. So Allah says in the Quran clearly, pick up Surah Al-Hujurat, I urge you. You know, if you can, pick up Surah Al-Hujurat today. Look at the translation. The 2-3 ruku'at of Surah Al-Hujurat. Subhanallah, the social rules mentioned in that surah, second to none. We must practice them. Pick the Quran up, read the translation. And if you don't understand anything, ask someone. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ. Avoid suspicion. don't suspect people of doing anything without any evidence. And then Allah says after that, straightaways, because a question, somebody might think, okay, you know what, I'm not going to suspect someone. I'm not just going to think that this person is guilty of this sin and that sister is guilty of this sin. You know what I'll do? I'll investigate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, straightaway, He said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not become a spy. You don't work for the FBI and neither do I. Okay? It's not our job to spy on people who's guilty of what sin. This is the job of Allah. Don't take the job of Allah in your hand and in my hand. We should not take the job of Allah of God. That's not our job. Seriously, brothers and sisters, it's not our job. Man satara aiban, we are all sinful. We are all sinful. Somebody is doing something wrong, we are doing. We probably have pride in our hearts. If you think that you're so practicing because you just dress like a Muslim, you might have pride. I might have pride. Jealousy, hatred. Okay, we are all sinful. كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير الخطائين الطوابون. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, all the children of Adam are sinners. The best are the ones who repent. We are all sinful. Now, what should we do? من ستر عيبا ستر الله عيوبه في الآخرة يوم القيامة. The one who hides, the one who covers, the one who conceals the ill, the sin of somebody else, Allah will cover his sins on the Day of Judgment. If you want, brother, sister, that your sins are covered on the Day of Judgment, all your private matters of your life are not exposed in front of everyone, then you must ensure that you should be willing to cover other people's sins and evils in this world. Cover people's sins. So Allah was in Surah Al-Hujurat, what does He say? Do not suspect. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Some of you might say, the question might come, I will not suspect, I will spy. I will find out first. I'm not just saying things just out of my pocket. I'm not just suspecting anyone. Okay, Allah is saying that don't suspect. So, oh Allah, I won't suspect. I'll go and investigate. So Allah straight away in the next line, He said, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't even spy. Don't even go and investigate. That's not your job. Somebody might say, okay, listen, oh Allah, you know what? I'm not going to suspect. Neither will I spy. What about if I know something that's happening in front of me? I did not have to go and research, investigate and spy. The person was drinking alcohol in front of my eyes. Now what? Now can I tell someone? Can I talk about it? Allah straight away said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. One of you should not backbite. Don't even talk about it to other people. This is the order used in Surah Al-Hujurat. Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, mentioned this great order of these three sins. Sin number one, suspicion. Dhan. Su'udhan. Sin number two, which is connected. Okay? Tajassus. Spying. And sin number three, which is ghiba, backbiting. So anyway, here, eavesdropping. Again, respecting people's privacies. Don't be too nosy. Don't overhear people. The hadith says, the one who hears people's conversations against their wishes, then lead. Melted lead will be poured into that person's ears on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. May Allah save us all. And then I'm going to move on quickly, finally. We have a few more minutes. The last paragraph of this particular point. The Shaykh says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَسُوغُ لَكَ أَن تُصَارَّ جَلِيسَكَ بِحَدِيثٍ إِذَا كُنْتُمْ ثَلَاثَةً فَإِنَّكَ بِهَذَا تُوقِعُ عَلَى ثَالِثِكُمَا إِيحَاشًا وَإِنْقِطَاعًا عَنْكُمَا فَتَمُرُّ بِذِهْنِهِ الْخَوَاطِرُ الْبَعِيدَةُ وَالْقَرِيبَةُ وَهَذَا غَيْرُ لَائِقٍ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ. And also know, dear reader, dear listener, dear brother, sister, also know that it is not permissible, لا يسوغ لك, it is not permissible for you to talk secretly, for you to whisper with your friend sitting next to you, the one sitting next to you, when there's only three of you. What is this etiquette? This is a very important etiquette as well. When there's only three of us sitting, or three of you sitting, there's only three people there, then two people should not have a private secret conversation. If there's four, then it's not a problem. But whenever there's three, then it's haram for you to have a private, you know, whisper in each other's ears, have a private conversation, because you will isolate the third person. What does the Shaykh say? Because he says, فَإِنَّكَ بِهَذَا, because you, by doing so, by talking secretly, the two of you, you will place the third one sitting amongst you into uneasiness and into, you know, isolation. He will feel uneasy and isolated and deserted. Okay? And then تمرُّ بذهنه الخواطر. Thoughts will pass, all sorts of distant and close, far and close kind of thoughts will pass in his mind. He will think, oh, they might be talking about me. Oh, do I look a bit dirty today? Am I smelly? You might be talking about some business or something, but he might think that he smells, because he might really think that you two are talking about him. So, because all sorts of thoughts will come into his mind and you are harming this person, therefore it's the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is haram and lawful. It's not permissible in Islam. وَلِهَذَا نَفَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا الْخُلُقَ عَنِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ نَفْيًا. And this is why the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ negated this bad habit from the Muslims. فَقَالَ لَا يَتَنَاجَى إِثْنَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا ثَالِثِ رواه الإمام مالك وأبو داود. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَا يَتَنَاجَى بِصِيغَةِ النَّهِي وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ لَا يَتَنَاجَى بِصِيغَةِ النَّفْيِ وَالْخَبَرِ إِذَانًا مِنْهُ بِأَنَّ هَذَا الْخَطَأَ غَيْرُ مُتَصَوَّرٍ أَوْ غَيْرُ لَائِقٍ أَنْ يَقَعَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِ حَتَّى يُنْهَى عَنْهُ لِأَنَّهُ خَطَأٌ يُدْرَكُ بِالْفِطْرَةِ. What the Shaykh is trying to say here, that look, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, what he said in the hadith, he said, لَا يَتَنَاجَى. In Arabic, لَا يَتَنَاجَى means that لَا يَتَنَاجَى إِثْنَانِ, two people do not whisper and talk secretly in the presence of a third person. This is a hadith narrated by Imam Malik and Abu Dawud. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not forbid it. He did not say بِصِيغَةِ النَّهِ لَا يَتَنَاجَى, two of you don't talk secretly. He never said don't talk secretly. He just said two Muslims will never do that. Why? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a negative form, he mentioned this, is indicating that this is something which is impossible, inconceivable, غير متصور. You cannot even picture and imagine two Muslims talking secretly with a third person there. So he never even felt the need to tell us that don't do it. He just said, look, two Muslims will never do this. Okay, because this is a khata, this is a mistake which people know through their own fitrah, through their own senses. Your own natural senses, your understanding, your sanity will tell you that look, when there's the third person here, we don't talk privately. This is a hadith. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ رَوَاهُ مَالِكُ وَأَبُو دَاوُدُ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَقَدْ سُئِلَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ فَقِيلَ لَهُ فَإِذَا كَانُوا أَرْبَعَ قَالَ لَا يَضُرُّكَ أَيْ لَا بَأْسَ حِينَئِذٍ بِالْمُصَارَةِ وَالْمُنَاجَةِ. And then this hadith is related by Abdullah ibn Umar, and this Abdullah ibn Umar Sahabi was once asked, what about if there's four people? So he said, then it's no harm. If there's four people, then two of you can talk secretly. Then there's nothing wrong in talking secretly and in whispering. So the summary of this etiquette, we've come to the end, is that when there's just three of you sitting, then make sure that you don't talk secretly. And also, not just secretly, but don't talk in another language. And also, don't make gestures. You know, don't make like gestures, isharat, like sign language. So if there's three of you, one person doesn't understand English, then you two should not speak in English, because that's wrong as well. So this is the etiquette which we read today, inshallah. I end with this. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا. Inshallah, tomorrow we've got some things about respect of the elders and the respect of the prominent people and respecting your parents. I end with this today. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلِّمْ. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.